Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
City Sports, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, and Mac Morey here with you on Fesco and Dusty. Damn glad to have you on this Thursday. Can you believe it? Tomorrow is going to be Friday.
Friday, and we're gonna rest on Friday, I tell you.
We are?
Oh, God, yes.
We don't have to be here?
No, I mean, we'll work, but we're not staying past 9:58 tomorrow, guys. We're probably not staying past 9:58 today, but...
Well, I have to.
Oh, you do? Why? You in trouble today?
Endorsements.
Oh, good for you.
You gotta love them, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a fun time to be alive, and then we'll be right back out at the K tonight.
I'll be at Hy-Vee later today from 11 to 1 if you want to come out and get a steak dinner over in Mission. That's where I'll be 11 to 1 today.
Is it silken dinner if you go from 11 to 1?
Well, dinner, lunch, supper, however you want to phrase it, you know. Steak day, right?
If I had the steak dinner at 12, I would have to eat the rest of the day.
Yeah, you're done. Yeah. So you could double up on your meal, right? You know, just make it a dinner and get ready for the game tonight. So come out to Hy-Vee in Mission on Mart Way. I'll be there 11 to 1, $10 steak, mashed potatoes, and green beans. Let's go.
I do think I want to bring up last night. So that's obviously the leading point, which is Royals and Yankees. Royals lose 3-2. I want to bring up some stuff that I think, I don't know if it helps. I don't know if it hurts. I honestly really don't care. Your emotions are what you choose to do with them. And last night, you know, being there with Cody and Alex and enjoying the game and seeing the fans interact with them and everybody kind of having a good time, I want to start off with saying that I was very proud of the response from people in last night's game. I think that the majority of people are starting to get it. I think people are starting to understand what the situation is, how it's going. And I think the thing that's great about last night is that yesterday, or at least last night, was we finally got to see it again. Right, 9 years without playoff baseball.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time they were home since, I think, September 27th.
Right.
And I thought that
2+ weeks, my God.
Right. And look, yeah, the outcome wasn't what it was supposed to be, but this is one of those things where, like, yeah, they lose, but I don't think the series is over. I don't think you have to go into this game tonight thinking everybody's pressing, everybody's struggling, everybody's, you know, it's to me, it's not that. The Yankees are still the team with the most pressure. They're going to send out Gerrit Cole. The Royals are going to send out Michael Wacha. It's game four. It's in Kansas City. Every team in this series, you win, then you lose. You win, then you lose. And then next thing you know, it's, you know, here we go. 4 o'clock, or not 4 o'clock, but it's Saturday, game five in New York.
Right.
In the Bronx, and everything is great. And the best part about this is that from what I heard driving home from Vern's show, and from what I've seen on the text line, and from what I gather from people that listen and reach out to me, is everybody is still happy with what this team has accomplished. Yes, we all want more, right? And maybe we'll get that, maybe we won't. And there are certain things that have caused this team to maybe have, you know, scoring issues, right? Like I told you before the show started. Salvador Perez, Bobby Witt Jr., and Vinny Pasquantino in this series are a combined 4-for-37.
Three of those hits coming from Salvador
Perez.
Correct.
Yeah. And that's a total average of 108.
That's so not going to get it done.
I understand that a lot of people are like, Bobby Witt Jr.'s got to step up. Look, I can tell you personally, being in that locker room last night, the man is understanding of what his role is and what he needs to do. Seeing his demeanor, seeing his mannerisms, the guy knows what he needs to do. He knows he's a superstar. He knows that he brings that badge of honor with this team. You don't need to question that. I can promise you that. Vinny Pasquantino, same guy. Sat there, chin up, answered questions, was great in the locker room, you know, knows what they got to do. But the other thing, too, about this game is that you get another crack at it tonight. The last time they played Gerrit Cole, they hit him hard.
They hit him often. I know they were loud outs. Bobby Witt Jr. almost had a triple in New York Stadium. Aaron Judge made a great play.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. Enjoy this tonight. Because I do think there's a very good chance they would. I know the money line will be different tonight.
Oh, yeah, they're big underdog tonight for whatever reason. Yeah.
But the thing is that eventually it breaks, and I hope that it's not next year. I hope it's tonight where things start to go your way. And you can say that there's excuses, and I totally will understand that. That's totally fine. Fitty pass with Cino hit to Volpe in the inning where Bob Costas didn't know if it was a hit or not, which I can get into him a little bit later. If that goes through, we got a tie game, maybe a winning game.
You don't know, but ultimately, you're talking big picture, and that's what you should be looking at. Like, I'm not sitting here with a defeatist attitude, nor should anybody have a defeatist attitude right now. You still have another game to go at home, and you win this game, you go to a game five, and it's an elimination game, and everybody's happy. And we can sit here and bemoan, you know, Bobby Witt and Salvador Perez and Vinny Pasquantino all we want, but for two of those guys, this is their first foray onto the scene. Like, playoff baseball is a different beast than regular season baseball. Regular season baseball is a walk in the park, you know, relax a little bit, read a book, watch the birds, watch the clouds. Playoff baseball is a sprint. The opportunity to play in the postseason is very, very limited, and you have to take advantage of that. And until you get there, you don't really know and understand what playoff baseball is all about, how one pitch, one out, one inning can turn an entire series. And so these guys are learning right now. I mean, we were spoiled, Dusty, in 14 and 15. We were spoiled with the Chiefs right away. Ooh. Those things aren't normal. A lot of times you have to crawl before you can walk and walk before you can run. And in Major League Baseball, that's usually the way it goes. The Royals, you know, changed all that in 14 and 15, and that kind of became our expectation. And so even if they end up not winning this series and they end up losing tonight and the Yankees celebrate and they move on to the ALCS, Major League Baseball will be very excited. This still turns out to be a great season, but you're upset in the moment, but you're enjoying what this season was all about, you know, and what this season has been all about. What continues to be about is that they surprised everybody. It's been a great ride that these Royals have taken us on, and they still have an opportunity tonight. Like, there should be no head hanging tonight at all. Yeah. And for me, I get back to, you can truly see the difference though between a quote unquote experienced Yankee lineup versus a lineup of the Royals that features guys who aren't experienced in the postseason. And it goes back to the walks. The Yankees will not swing at a pitch that is not a strike. And we saw 9 walks again last night. And the fact that those 9 walks only turned into 3 runs for the Yankees is pretty remarkable, right? The night before they had 8 walks or whatever it was. And that only turned into 1 or 2 runs, yeah, you know, for the Yankees. So they're finding ways to get out of it. But the walks are ultimately what's going to do you in. The Royals need to be a little bit more selective at the plate, like the Yankees have been. Try to work the pitcher a little bit more and try to find your way to get on base. Because, look, the offense has been an issue all year, right? And I've talked to enough people over the years in baseball, and they say what is your wart comes out in the postseason. We saw it with Bubic yesterday in the bullpen, giving up, you know, an opportunity to get a win. And we've seen the offense struggle for the most part in this series, right? And so those have been issues all season long, and now here we are on the big stage, and we're seeing some of those same issues. So it's not things that aren't fixable and changeable, but I think for the Royals tonight, I think the number one thing to do, because I think you can fluster Gerrit Cole early, and I think you can fluster Gerrit Cole quickly, is if you just start spitting on pitches and start taking pitches. Like, don't go up there with the mindset that you have to blow the game open in the first inning or in the second inning, or you have to be that guy. If you start playing individual baseball when you get up to the plate, you're going to lose this game tonight. You have to play team baseball. You have to play small ball. Hell, the Yankees were even playing small ball last night. They were trying to Stanton stealing bases last night. The Royals got to get back to that small ball approach and team baseball approach. Keep that line moving and don't swing at anything that's outside of the zone, and make Gerrit Cole work and get inside of that Yankee bullpen, and then you give yourself a great opportunity to win this game.
I do think that there is some sort of situation that could be addressed, and maybe I'm in the minority here. Maybe I'm not. But I would say that maybe tonight in an elimination game, mm-hmm, is a night where maybe you give Vinny a day.
I don't mind that. I don't hate that.
I think Vinny's a great guy. I think he's good for this team. But I think in a situation like tonight, I think that he's more powerful and more impactful in the dugout than in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I don't think that he's fully healthy.
I know in the Baltimore series, mm-hmm. he was, you know, on base at 1.3 times in a game, had a couple RBIs, had a sack, you know, whatever
right,
it is.
Right.
But right now, in this sort of series, as everything amplifies up, you've got to give guys in that lineup that give you the best chance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the thing that you see tonight is a team with their backs against the wall, a team still playing with house money, a fan base that was absolutely rocking, 41,000 people
great
there last
crowd.
Night.
It was so much fun last
and
night.
I'm with Alex on this because he was getting a lot of complaints about this, and the text line said it too, that the crowd didn't seem loud on TV. The crowd has been dubbed down on TBS. We know this for a
yeah,
fact.
Right.
Like, we know that they have dubbed the crowd volume down so you can hear the broadcast. Unfortunately, so you can hear Costas
yeah.
more.
Boy, oh boy.
And the thing is that, like, I think in this situation, and we give you the numbers, 437, Salvador Perez is three of those four hits.
Mm-hmm.
Salvador Perez has been fine. And the thing that I think is interesting when it comes to this is that, you know, maybe it's one of those nights where, like you saw Will Smith early in the season, who was blowing saves, goes into Contreras' office, says, hey, Skip, it ain't me right now.
Right.
I'd like to see something maybe like that with Vinny Pasquantino. Hey, I'm not getting good lumber on the baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Fermin's a good DH opportunity. Put him in the lineup. Move Salvador Perez up, a guy who's got three hits in this series. I don't have anything.
Right.
You know, if you need me in a pinch hit situation, I'll get amped up, and maybe I can give you a situation where I can put the ball in the air with a guy on third.
And you know what? And the crowd would go wild, too, if Vinny comes out of the dugout in the seventh or eighth, right?
And I don't think that that's a bad look on Vinny Pasquantino. I think that he's trying like hell. I love his tenaciousness. I love his integrity. I love everything about him, his fight and everything. And I'm not trying to take a dig at Vinny Pasquantino. The guy has an injured thumb.
Mm-hmm.
The guy got back on Godspeed
right.
getting into this lineup.
He shouldn't really be playing at
and
this
where
point,
he
right?
was the most impactful was in that Washington series when he joined the team in the dugout.
Right.
And you've got to have the best case situation tonight because you are facing the elimination chamber.
You are.
You've got no excuses after tonight. And then you go to New York on Saturday if, in fact, you do win this game tonight. And then it's no holds barred. You get, you know, a hardcore match to throw all these sort of analogies. It doesn't matter. You'll see Cole Reagan. You'll see Lugo. You'll see, you know, Waka. You'll see Singer. And that's just kind of the thing that you've got to throw out there is you've got to give yourself the best case scenario to win the game. And to me, Vinny just looks a little off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not fatigue. It's just that hand is just not right
it's
yet.
Not
and you've
got
to have somebody in that three hole that can hit between Bobby and Sal. And then, you know, Bobby's got to make something happen.
Yeah.
That's what superstars do. And big time players and big time moments make big time plays.
Well, and you know, that's kind of what we've been saying all along with Bobby Witt. And this was his moment to shine in the postseason. And he's got one hit in this series against the Yankees. And it could have turned into a run last night. You don't know. But if you're looking at the numbers, which I know the Royals do, and they play the matchups a lot, except for the Brady Singer thing last night, you brought him in to face Aaron Judge. And Aaron Judge was hitting .417 off of Brady Singer. I'm like, oh, my God, this is a Yordano moment here for Cotrero. But Brady Singer did his job. Vinny Pasquantino is 0-for-6 with 2 strikeouts in his career against Gerrit Cole. So to kind of back up your point with factual evidence and not just a feel evidence, which sometimes I think the feel is better than the factual evidence at times when you're talking about sports, Vinny Pasquantino is hitless against Gerrit Cole. And if you want somebody that's going to be your designated hitter tonight, Tommy Pham needs to be in the lineup. He is hitting .361 off of Gerrit Cole, and it's a big sample size as well. 13-for-36. He's got 2 home runs against Gerrit Cole. Tommy Pham needs to be in the lineup tonight, and I would not hesitate to have a straight switch of Vinny Pasquantino Tommy Pham for Vinny Pasquantino in that DH spot, and I would hit Tommy Pham third. I would just take Vinny Pasquantino out of that spot, put Tommy Pham in there. He's the veteran hitter tonight. He's the guy you'd like to see in that lineup. Another guy you could put in that lineup tonight that probably should get some playing time, Adam Frazier. He's hitting .357 off of Gerrit Cole, 5-for-14. So the sample size is a decent enough sample size. He should probably be in that lineup tonight. So I would think either Adam Frazier or Tommy Pham is going to be in that lineup tonight. And I would. I wouldn't hesitate not to have Vinny in that lineup tonight. It's okay. He's fighting back from this injury. He's done more than anybody's ever expected, and nobody's going to hold this against him if he's just not ready to rock and roll out there. You have to put your best foot forward tonight, and maybe Vinny's not that option for the Royals.
No doubt. I mean, I just, you know, I don't, again, it's not a dig. It's not a shot.
It's not at all. It's just playing the numbers and seeing what's happened, you know?
Look, I tell you, and I know we got to go to break. I don't care if we're late. I'm sorry. I don't care. Here's the thing. My dad was a basketball coach, okay? There was a rule in Little League basketball. Everybody had to play a quarter. But when the fourth quarter came to it,
and you had to win the game, you put your best five players out there in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You put your best five players on the court. Right now, Vinny Pasquantino is not one of your best hitters in the lineup, and he should not be hitting third if he's not 100%.
Right.
And
that's exactly right.
You're facing an elimination game.
Right.
Because guess what? The story is cool right now that he rushed back and made himself healthy and made himself available. But if you lose this game tonight and your season is over, which was a great, successful, fun season,
mm-hmm.
and you look at it, Vinny Pasquantino went 0-for-15, whatever in the series, where it could have been Freddie Fermin, who was there all year, who got big hits, or it could have been
Freddie
Tommy
Fermin
Pham,
has never faced Gerrit Cole in his career, which is wild. Maybe put Freddie Fermin in there, or do you put Freddie Fermin behind the plate tonight and put Salvador Perez as your designated hitter? There's a lot of mixing and matching that can happen with that lineup tonight. If I'm Q, I'm not status quo over these last couple of nights. This is an elimination game, all hands on deck. You have to do everything possible to get that victory tonight to send this thing back to New York, or otherwise you'll have a trash bag in your locker room tomorrow and you'll be putting your stuff away for winter.
I want to talk about a little bit more of that crowd and the superstars that came out to support this team. It was a fun night last night. The K, we'll dive into that in a little bit when we come back here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Trying to get everybody to love me and everybody to hate me, apparently, is the day that this is going. Look, I don't.
Everybody's all upset, you know?
It's just emotion.
It is, yeah.
And that's fine. Like, look, we're paid to give takes. And, you know, somebody, my buddy Kevin reached out to me during the break. He said, well, you know, Vinny was good in Baltimore. Yeah, that was Baltimore.
That was Baltimore, though. That's not like we got to stop living in what you did.
Time out.
Yeah.
There's more to the text. And he's like, maybe I'm wrong, but like, you know, if not Vinny, then who? Which is a very good question.
We just gave you who? Tommy Pham.
Again, let me continue. He didn't stop there. But it is tough to see, like, you know, Vinny struggle. And then also, like, you know, but we haven't seen DeJong. We haven't seen Fermin. We haven't seen this.
Is DeJong still around?
He is.
We haven't seen that guy.
And I get it. Like, look, Vinny's a fan favorite.
Right.
I totally understand it. Like, Vinny's a fan favorite. Vinny's a team favorite. He's a team captain. I think he's going to be fine next year when he's fully healthy. And I'm not trying to take shots at people in the Royals lineup or anything like that, but I just... Tonight is an elimination game.
Ask yourself the question, is Vinny Pasquantino giving you the best chance to win games right now?
And I understand that he's a name. Look, I know he's a name. But every day without the injury, if he's an 80 overall, right now he's a 70. He's down a notch because he's not 100% healthy. Again, and you can have the narrative of nobody's healthy. It's game 179.
No, but he's legitimately not healthy with that thumb injury.
Right. So, I mean, maybe it's just, you know, you got to go all out tonight.
Yeah.
Everybody's available.
There's nothing wrong with having these conversations. I mean, Vinny's been here a hot minute. It's not like he's some legendary Kansas City Royal that, oh, my God, like Salvador Perez, who, by the way, the ovation last night for Salvi blew everybody out of the water. It wasn't even close. I mean, God. Mm-hmm. And it should be that way. He's the captain. He's the veteran. He's the guy. He's our guy. Like, that's the guy. Like, if you would have come in here this morning, Dusty, and said, I got a hot take, Salvi shouldn't be in the lineup, I'd have gone, all right, let's slow your roll a little bit about that. Let's talk this through.
Right.
But you came in and you said to me before the show started, he goes, I don't know if it's a hot take or not, but I don't know that Vinny should be playing. And you look at the numbers right now and you're not wrong. This is an elimination game. Your season's on the line. It's not about Vinny and everybody likes him and he wears a Sasquatch uniform and they got a Sasquatch that walks around when he hits a home run. It's what are you doing for me right now? This isn't romper room, okay? This isn't the regular season again. This is postseason baseball. And right now, and I agree with you, right? Like, I could take the other side and you know, have it for radio purposes. We could yell at each other like those shows on Fox and ESPN do all morning long, but I'm not going to do that because I'm out here to try to win baseball games. And tonight, Tommy Pham, based on the numbers against Gerrit Cole, is a better person to have in your lineup than Vinny Pasquantino. And we know for a fact that this organization is analytically driven, at times a little bit too much, but that's fine. You got all the information there that you need. And if you're looking at the numbers and you're going to be a numbers organization like the Royals like to claim, then you can't have Vinny Pasquantino in the lineup tonight over Tommy Pham. It just doesn't make sense from a numbers perspective. Again, Tommy Pham is hitting like 364 against Gerrit Cole. Vinny Pasquantino is 0-for-6 with 2 strikeouts. You're trying to win an elimination game tonight. Who would you put in the lineup? Just look at the blind resumes, right? Mm-hmm. Don't look at the names. You look at the blind resumes. Who gives you the best opportunity to win tonight? Tommy Pham over Vinny Pasquantino is a very easy switch to make. And then maybe late in the game, you want to bring Vinny Pasquantino in off the bench because you think it's going to be good for the crowd, which it will be. Mm. It'll be good for the team, which it will be. And maybe you utilize him late in the game in a pinch hit type of situation. But I think going into this game tonight, you don't want to be in a pinch hit type situation late. You want to find a way to win this game early. Tommy Pham gives you a better opportunity at this point in time to do that than Vinny Pasquantino did. And you know what? If you don't want to hear that and you don't like that, well, then you're not looking at it from a realist perspective right now, because he is a step slow, and that's okay. The guy fought back from an injury that, if it is the regular season, right now he's in Omaha, or he hasn't picked up a bat yet or something of that nature because of that thumb injury. He's gutted it out, but he's gotten this far and it's just not working. And it's okay to say that.
Vinny Pasquantino in the playoffs so far, 2-for-19. It's a 105 average, 1 RBI, 7 strikeouts, 3 walks.
Yeah, that's not good. 7 strikeouts is more concerning than anything. 7 strikeouts. It means he's a step slow. He is a step slow right now. And guys are, because baseball is all about timing. That's why, like, the playoffs reward the home team with the time off, or the number one seed with the time off. They don't like it. It's all about timing. It's all about rhythm. It's all about staying in your routine. And when you get hurt at the end of August, like Vinny Pasquantino did, and you miss an entire month of that season, and then you come back right into the postseason, You're kind of setting yourself up to not have that success. And it's nothing against the gut and the grit and the determination of Vinny Pasquantino, because we all love it. But here we sit on the brink of elimination. He can't be in the lineup tonight with those numbers when you have a guy like Tommy Pham who has amazing numbers against Gerrit Cole.
From the 816, you guys still in the Royals are 100% winning the series train. I thought the Yankees were crashing and burning. I 100% think the Royals still win this series, and I'll tell you why. The percentage of teams that win game three that go on to win the series is 72%.
Yeah, it's in the 70s.
I thought the number would be like 85, 86, 88, something like that. I had a buddy that's a troll in St. Louis last night tell me, oh, yeah, you don't win tonight, series over. That's not the case. Because if you go out there tonight, which I do think they win tonight, I think Michael Wacha, this is the situation that you got him for.
This is a big night for Michael Wacha, too, because he can opt out of his contract at the end of this year. And you go out there and you pitch well tonight against the Yankees, you're cashing checks, man.
And I think that, you know, Wacha he's no stranger to this environment. I know he hasn't pitched in Kansas City in the playoffs, but he's pitched against big lineups, being in San Diego, being in the Cardinals organization against AL Central teams and NL West, or NL Central and NL West teams. So I don't feel any sort of nerves towards Wacha. You get Gerrit Cole. The last time you played Gerrit Cole, you hit him hard.
Mm-hmm.
And probably should have won that game. And I will say this.
Yankees got lucky in that game.
Easy. I think the thing is, with Wacha tonight, I do like the pitchy matchup. And I know people be like, dude, it's Gerrit Cole. I understand it's Gerrit Cole.
Yeah.
But look, we were there last night. That crowd was electric. And I don't want to hear it from TBS. The crowd was wet. They dub the volume down.
Right.
They do that.
They do that. The crowd, I was sitting in left field last night. It was as loud as a Chiefs game. It was so loud.
I have video on my phone, and I have videos we've shared on our Twitter feed of the crowd. And like, they do this at WWE events. They will move the crowd up. Like, I know you don't know this or give a rip about it, but the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania is always the biggest crowd volume there is. And it's been amplified because now it's Paul Levesque, a.k.a. Triple H, who runs the controls, and he'll, you know, pop that up to give it more of a theatrical approach.
Of course, yeah.
Just like TBS is like, we want it to sound more muddled. We want to get the broadcast. We want to be able to do this. We're going to turn the bat volume up, crowd volume down. They have the capability of doing that.
Yes, absolutely.
And look, last night was great. And yeah, I see that they lost. I understand that they didn't win. But look, this is a best of five. It's not a best of two. It's not a best of three.
It's not a best of one.
It's a best of five. This is a team that I saw last night in that locker room interviewing Chris Bubich. I threw him a slider at 3-1. I threw him the same pitch again. He waited for it.
Mm-hmm.
I own that mistake. I shouldn't have been behind in the count. I saw Bobby Witt Jr. sitting in his chair looking in a almost like that 20-yard stare of like, I'm going to have to do something. I need to do something. That wasn't a team last night in the locker room that was hanging their heads upset. Brady Singer was smiling and having fun.
He should.
And enjoying the moment.
He had a great pitch.
He had one of the biggest outs of the game.
Yeah, huge.
And look, it's not like this team is playing the almighty Yankees and they're losing 7-2.
Right.
Like, I would understand if you went into this game
and lost 7-1. And the night before, you lost 6-5. And then the night before that, you lost 10-2, like you did in the regular season, where everyone's narrative was like, we're just not there yet.
Correct.
BS now, you are there. Every game in this series, other than, I guess, not everyone, 6-5, 4-2, 3-2.
They've all been great baseball
games.
They're
close games.
They're playoff games,
and
though,
they're self-inflicted wounds that you can definitely fix. When Cotrera was asked in postgame, which I was in that room as well, and it was like, it's walks and it's strikeouts, or it's missed opportunities that you can change. I know there's people in this text line that says, well, maybe it's time to give MJ a night. Maybe,
but now, I mean,
but also MJ's he's a left-handed bat in a situation, and like, this is the playoffs where I know you hate it, and I know people don't like it, but you have to be analytical because you have to play the situation.
You do.
And when you have a guy that throws like Garrett Cole, who's going to be like, you know what? Here's my pitch. Either you're going to hit it or I'm going to strike you out. MJ Melendez is a great person for that sort of situation because he's going to swing out of his shoes, and if he makes contact with it, it's going to go very, very far. Now, the problem is he hasn't made very much contact.
But he does. I mean,
But he did last night, other than the final out, which is what everybody hangs their hat on.
Yeah, but you know what? If you're going to sit there and say MJ needs to be out of the lineup, then you need to say Vinny needs to be out of the lineup, too. It's pretty simple. Just because you like somebody over somebody else and personally doesn't mean they should be in the lineup when somebody else should not be in the lineup. So I think MJ still should be in the lineup. I still like his bat. I still like his stroke. I still like, you know, the ability of having him in that lineup because I feel like he's one of those guys at any moment can hit a home run. You need those guys in your lineup in the playoffs. And if people are freaking out about this, again, this goes back to 14 and 15. We've been very spoiled here with the way our playoffs have gone in Kansas City. The Chiefs just run to the Super Bowl every year. The Royals run to the World Series every year. They don't lose series. They don't lose games. They started 8-0 in 2014. They were really never on the brink of elimination in 14 or 15 until game 7 of the World Series against the San Francisco Giants, and obviously game 4 in Houston was an elimination game. But other than that, this team has not been on the brink of elimination but one time in our lifetimes, basically, in the postseason. So I think fans are having a tough time understanding how this works, because what we remember and what we've seen is that when the Royals make the playoffs, well, they don't lose. They just advance to the World Series. They just roll out the red carpet, and we get to the World Series. That's not the way it works. This is playoff baseball. If you are a baseball fan and you don't have a Royals or Yankee rooting interest in this series, this has been one of the great baseball postseason series you could have asked for. Mm-hmm. There has been really good pitching. It's been tooth and nail. Every play matters. Every pitch matters. And you know it matters because we're in the crowd last night and nobody's sitting down. I was sitting with some folks that, you know, work in the front office and whatnot. They're like, are we going to get a chance to sit? I go, no. Have you been to a Chiefs game? Like, you don't sit at these games. And everybody's amped up. You could feel the nerves. You could feel the tension. This is what postseason baseball is all about. And when you win, it is so much sweeter because you endured all of this. You fought through all of this. What we're watching right now is a typical baseball postseason series that we've never really had in Kansas City before. They've all been runaways. They've all been basically glorified, get us to the World Series. But this is what playoff baseball is all about. And that's why you look at the Royals right now, and they're either a pitcher and a hitter away of getting to that next level. Get one more bat in that lineup, maybe one more pitcher in that bullpen, or whatever the case may be going into next season. When this thing does end, even if they end in a world championship, you're still going to need to improve your ball club next year. So you got to go into this and understand tonight is going to be filled with tension. Tonight is going to be a game like you've never been part of before, because we've never faced an elimination game other than game 7 against the Giants at Kauffman Stadium that any of us can remember. And so we're going to go in there tonight. It's going to be, you know, on the edge of our seats or standing the entire time, watching every single pitch, watching every single move. It's going to be a chess match. The Yankees do not want to see Cole Reagans in game 5. Garrett Cole's going out there tonight to try to end this thing so they don't have to see Cole Reagans in game 5. I mean, it's going to be a hell of a baseball game. So just get ready for the tension. Get ready for the mixing and matching. Get ready for things that we've never seen before in a baseball game. And that's the way it works. And for the sport, this has been a beautiful series, man. I was walking out of Kauffman Stadium last time, like, that was just a great baseball game. That was well played by both sides. And the Yankees just happened to be, like we said yesterday, the first of 3 runs wins it. The team that can squeak out 1, 2, 3 runs max, I think, is the team that wins. 10-9 final, probably. So there it is. We said it yesterday. The first to three is going to win. I had a couple of friends text me, you better not be right about this first to three when Stanton hit the home run. I'm like, kind of the way I'm feeling about that. And that's kind of the way it is tonight. Can you gut it out and get to three or four runs? The first team to three or four runs tonight is probably going to win this baseball game. And if the Royals don't walk the entire lineup and they're more selective at the plate, they're going to put themselves in a better chance to win this baseball game.
Yeah, and I think that tonight is going to show that. I think in one game you might have missed, pretty big game, that wild card game in 2014.
I guess, so, yeah, elimination. You're right, but you're know okay. What I'm talking about. I'm talking about series.
I think that's what tonight's going to feel like. I think last night, if I can be honest, I think last night was one of those, it's back, I'm excited, I don't really know what to feel. It's like the Jonah Hill meme where he's got his hands in the air.
Right,
I don't know what's going on.
Right.
And, you know, I think that's what it was. I think tonight is more of like an engaged crowd, right? Like tonight is, hey, we cannot lose or this series is over.
And the season.
And everything that goes into it. And, yeah, you know, like I know nobody wants to talk about the possibilities of a loss, but that's where I feel like tonight is one of those things, because in recency, this team with their backs against the wall facing, you know, the worst possible situation, they've shown you that they can prevail.
Mm-hmm.
When they were, what, a game and a half above Minnesota or whatever it was, and they had gotten, you know, just obliterated at home, couldn't score any runs, and they went on the road to face, wasn't it Washington and Atlanta to finish the season?
Yep.
They won 5 out of 6.
Right.
They swept Washington when you needed the biggest wins of your season, and they did it.
Right.
And now you have a game in which this is now the biggest game of your season.
And it's not Washington.
And I understand that, yeah. But it's at home. It's against a team that you know you can beat,
mm-hmm.
that you're no longer afraid of the jersey that says New York. You're no longer afraid of Spider Tech Garrett Cole. The ship is still sailing. Everything is still moving in the parts that you want. And tonight, you're going to see what this team is. You're going to see where the adversity picks up. Look, Bobby Witt Jr.'s hit late in the game might have opened up a whole can of whoop-ass for him.
I was talking to somebody in the organization last night about that, and they said not just that hit, but when he walked, they said that's the key right there. He walked, got on base, next at bat, got the hit. So that walk, you go back to like the 5th or 6th inning, whenever it was for Bobby Witt,
right.
That may have opened things up and taken that pressure off of Bobby Witt a little bit. And then he comes up in the 8th inning and gets that big single, and you're starting to feel, okay, we got something going here.
Right.
Here we go. And obviously it didn't end the way that we wanted it to end, but by all intents and purposes, it doesn't mean you can't go out there tonight. What you did today or what you did yesterday does not matter at all today. Now, if you make the same mistakes that you made yesterday today, well, then you're not learning, and the mistakes are walking the entire lineup and not being more selective at the plate. And that's, to me, what it really boils down to. It's a very simple fix. Be more selective. Don't walk people. And if you take care of that, you're going to win this game.
I want to give credit where credit's due, because my wish were granted last night by all of you and a few others as well. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey, who will be going to the game tonight now, all here with you on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
I've seen us win 2 games a lot of times, so that's all we got to do, but just do it one time, one game at a time, 2 times, and so just now got our guy walk on the mound tomorrow, gonna enjoy it and take it all in for sure.
Back in, that was the sound of Bobby Witt Jr., your hometown hero. Somebody from the 75. The only complaint I have from last night is when Bobby got on, why didn't Q have him steal? Even if he got thrown out, it's still Salvi leading off in the 9th. We have to be more aggressive and we have speed on the backs.
Mm-hmm.
There's 2 reasons why. If Bobby Witt Jr. is on first and there's 2 outs and Salvador Perez hits that ball like he can in the gap or something, Bobby Witt Jr. is scoring from first. The other reason is
Luke Weaver's very fast to home plate.
He's 1-1 to home.
Yeah. Luke Weaver, former Royal, who I wish we still had now, has got 2 saves in this series against the Royals. Yeah, but I mean, like, if you kept Luke Weaver and Brent Rooker on this team, you probably win this series because you probably need one more bat in the lineup, and Luke Weaver would have been good out of the bullpen. He was here in 22, and then as the organization changed over, he was one of the first moves that they made. They, you know, put him on waivers, whatever it is, and you move on. That's a mistake looking back right now. Obviously, hindsight, we judge things obviously, as we do. Brent Rooker, huge mistake by this organization, letting him go and not really backfilling there. And if you would have had that bat in the lineup this year, oh my goodness, how good the Royals lineup could have been. But, you know, that's another story for another day. But Bobby Witt Jr., and look, I'm just going to flat out tell you, I was sitting with people in the organization last night. So we were talking through some of these situations that were going on the field as they were taking place. And it was the eighth inning and Bobby Witt's on first base, and me, much like everybody else, why aren't we sending Bobby in this situation? Why isn't Bobby running here in this situation? They go, well, Luke Weaver can get to home plate very fast, and there's a good opportunity that Bobby Witt gets thrown out. At that time, there was one out in the inning when he was on first base, and they didn't want Bobby to get thrown out and then have Salvi up there with two outs and then boom, you know, do your thing. But once two outs came, there was conversation of, okay, now it is time to send Bobby Witt, put some pressure on this off or this defense to make that play. And if he got thrown out, well, then you start the ninth inning with Salvador Perez leading things off. And that would have been okay as well. Your most productive bat, your most veteran bat, your most experienced postseason bat, leading off the ninth inning, they would have been okay with that. But with Luke Weaver on the mound and him getting the home plate as fast as he does, you didn't want to put Bobby Witt in a bad situation. And his lead wasn't really big last night over there at first base.
Because he wasn't taking off.
Exactly. So you knew he wasn't going. That was the game plan going in. Like, I know as fans, we react and go, oh my God, why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do that? These guys are pretty damn smart at what they do. I'm talking Andy Reid as well. I'm talking Matt Quatrero. I'm talking about people who are in position as managers and head coaches, for the most part, are pretty good at what they do. That's how they got to that level. They're prepared for every single situation, and they know what they're going to do. And so while we're wondering and questioning and wanting to know what's going on and why aren't they doing that, there's a reason why they weren't doing that last night. And the reason was Luke Weaver's pretty damn fast to home plate, and you wouldn't have put Bobby Witt in the best situation. And then if he gets thrown out with only one out, now you got Salvi up with two outs and nobody on, what's everybody doing? They're complaining, why did you send Bobby with Salvi at the plate? It's like, it's a no-win situation. But that's the background on it. If you want the reasoning and embrace the reasoning, fine. If you don't, that's fine as well. But that's the reasoning why Bobby Witt wasn't stealing in that situation last night.
I want to give out four tips of the cap. Number one goes to the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Crowd was great last night, man.
I want to tip my hat to the crowd because a lot of kind people came up to Cody, Alex, and I in right field. We'll be there again tonight. We'll be there in right field in the little rafters. Actually, I have five tips of the cap. The crowd, number one, gets it because we asked, bring it. It was loud.
It was great.
If you weren't there and you're going off TBS, I'm sorry, it's inaccurate.
Yeah.
I was there with my naked eyes. I saw it. I heard it. I was there for 4.5 hours. I was there for 2 hours pregame. I was there for 2 hours postgame. The crowd was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't hear my wife at times next to me, which wasn't a bad thing.
I was going to say, that's got to be a good thing.
Yeah.
The second tip of the cap goes to Lewis. Lewis was our security guard last night. And
Lou!
Big Lou. And I'm sure Cody and Gold will talk about Lou as well. So where we were sitting is normally where people can stand and watch. We're right by the right field foul pole.
Mm-hmm.
And this Lou guy, man, he was on it. These guys were standing. These people were standing. He just kept being like, you got to go. You got to go. You have people behind you trying to take, you know, watch the game and take notes. I want to tip my cap to Eric Hosmer.
What a great scene that was.
He really played the role. You didn't throw a pitch better than I did for an opening pitch. You went from the front of the mound. You stole my opening, you know, pump the crowd up, but you're Eric Hosmer. You can do whatever the hell you want, sir. Very well done.
I'm sure he was looking at your video and said, I'm going to steal that.
If he wanted to, he could have gotten a little bit better and pitched from the slab. But no, good for him. Props to Patrick Mahomes. Every time they showed that guy on the big screen, he knew his role. He was jacking the crowd up. The video of him getting in Dieter's ear and that's what you want to see. That's what you want to have. And my other tip of the cap would go to the text line this morning, which a lot of people that work here think it can be toxic. It thinks it can be, you know, aggravating. Everybody seems to get the message. Look at where you are today.
Yeah.
Right? Look at where you are right now. This team won 56 games, and they can still take away the ALDS from the almighty Yankees. And you're not getting blown out.
No.
You don't look like a team. And I'm proud of those five things. I'm proud of you, Texan. I'm proud of you, fans. I'm proud of you, Mahomes. I'm proud of you, Hosmer and Big Lou.
Well, that's why I go back to the small moves that could have been made that could have made a difference in this series, right? You keep Luke Weaver on this team. He's got the two saves against you. You keep Brent Rooker on this team. You got a better bat in your lineup than you've been able to do. And you're not mixing and matching with Renfro and Pham and DeYoung and all these guys that you're trying to figure out how to get that other bat in your lineup. It's simple moves like that that kind of fly under the radar at times that end up being the big moves, or the small moves that, you know, fly under the radar that end up working. The Mike Pinnells of the world, you know, for the Kansas City Chiefs, or Juju Smith-Schuster for the Kansas City Chiefs, or Kareem Hunt for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's the small, sometimes, moves that you're not high on or you don't even know about that happen that ultimately make the big difference in this organization. And if you had Brent Rooker and one more bat in this lineup and Luke Weaver maybe on the mound, maybe we're talking about different things. So you've got to make those moves and make those moves count for you. It's the smaller moves. It's the 25th man, 26th man, 52nd man, 53rd man on the roster that make a difference a lot of the time when it comes to completing your roster and getting that right group of players in there. And again, this is just the start to what we consider sustained success here in Kansas City. Eric Hosmer was brilliant last night.
He was, and
he's like one of those big what ifs for me, you know, in Kansas City sports. Had he not listened to Scott Boras, who is worse for baseball than steroids ever were, and stayed here in Kansas City, there's a good chance we'd be talking about him on kind of that Mount Rushmore of the Royals and someone that could have basically had a key to the Kansas City area. He's also, too, Eric Hosmer to me is also the last generation of the Kansas City athlete who looked around and goes, I don't know that I can do what I want here in Kansas City. I've got to go somewhere else and do that. And then Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce arrived on the scene, and they showed that you can do anything that you want here in Kansas City. Had Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes been here maybe 2 years earlier, I imagine, and I believe in my mind anyway, that Eric Hosmer probably stays here in Kansas City and becomes a lifelong Royal and becomes a guy that can write his own ticket in town. He just missed that window where, well, it's Kansas City, it's the middle of the country, and then Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce come here and they show you you could do anything that you want in Kansas City. And so I thought the Hosmer thing kind of brought that emotion up for me as well. And then I would have had Salvi catch that first pitch for Haas. I know Tommy Pham was a teammate of his and whatnot, but how cool would it have been if Salvi caught that first pitch for Eric Hosmer last night? That would have been the icing on the cake for me. That would have been a lot of fun.
They hugged each other.
Yeah, I know, but it would have been cool for the fans to have that moment of Salvi out there.
He's going
to
be out in the bullpen warming up Lugo.
Was he out there in the bullpen at that point? I don't even know, but I'm just saying what would have been cool. I'm talking about what would have been cool, not like where Salvi was at that moment in time. You could have made things work out.
What would have been cool is if Lorenzo Cain caught it, because that man
got a huge ovation last night
on the screen
too.
But
people love that team. That was the team that everybody in this in this city bonded with and took us to that next level. And I still heard a lot of it from people at the game last night. Man, that was our team. Those were our guys. Those are our players. We'll never have something like that again. And it's true. It was your first. It was the first foray into winning in 29 years in Kansas City. And those guys will always, always be legends here in Kansas City.
Cut up on the other side. We'll get into the Chris Bubich audio of what he had to say, because I'm telling you tonight, I'm telling you, at 6:58, the Royals are winning tonight, and I'll tell you why I'm so certain. On the other side here in Fesco Dusty at 96.5, The Fan, your home for Kansas City.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.